Hey guys, good morning. It has been a minute.
For those that are followers of Libby, you should be able to see this other places. But I just want to give a shout out because, you know, this hasn't been on the top of our mind to dive in and do our date mornings, our Saturday date mornings. Not because we don't want to, honestly, because we're really driven by it. But just because there was a season of hustle that we were in and we kind of got focused on other things, but we had people reaching out, and I just wanted to give a shout out to Don and Leonard Phillips. They'd reached out, and me and Leonard are on a text-by-text basis here. But he asked me and said, hey, when are you and the missus going to do a date morning? What time? And I'm like, that's a great question. I'll figure that out. So, you know, we've been intentional about trying to get back into the swing of things. Again, making sure that it feels right, feels locked in, because we want this to be real. We want it to be... Honestly, we want it to be, I say heavy. I want it to be unfiltered. Bring the coffee.
Yes. But anyways, let's get into it. It's been a minute and we stopped doing them live for a little bit because we were in a different season. It was summer. Kids were out of school. Who has kids, right? That were in school and your life changes when it's summer break. Your business changes when it's summer break. And then, you know, we were making some changes in the company. Me and Chris completely changed roles.
Oh my goodness.
He's sitting in marketing now, and I'm sitting ahead of ops now for WootRecruit. So we completely changed roles, and they were not roles that we wanted to go into necessarily, but it's what the business needed at the time. So we changed roles, completely did like a switch on our people.
So I would say not that we didn't want to, or at least for me.
Oh, I didn't want to.
But it wasn't on the top of my radar. Let's just put it that way. But we had some great discussions. You know, in our, we have brunch at Skinny Dogs, have our mimosa and latte, and they know us there. So it's always a great, great feeling to be, you know, at home. But no, just some great reminders and just kind of looking back at myself. It wasn't on the radar, but it's actually very in line with what I'm passionate about because I do have an artistic side, you know, having played drums and bass. So, you know, marketing has that artistic side of the brain. So I shifted in there, diving in, tearing apart everything and putting it back together. We have a 2-day, we do work parties. So I'm doing a 2-day marketing party, which is basically a complete tear out, a cleanup of the department as we're on a working session live on, we use Google Meet, but it's great because you're literally there play by play. Mics are unmuted, cameras, whether they're on or off, but it's like a rapid, let's get it done. Let's book it.
Yeah, that's where like I'm not a fan of EOS. EOS is so slow. It's like 90 days for a project. I'm like, screw that. Like, let's close for a day. Let's pause for a day. Let's go all hands in and let's just get it done in one day versus 90 days. That's where I would like kind of push back. And I'm a big fan of EOS, but there are some parts that I think that are just so agonizingly slow and that are made for more of a corporate company versus like a small company like us. In a minute, and our weekends on the summer, during the summer we're traveling with the kids. And this year was a different year. So every year I take the kids. Like, and this started with just me and Austin before Yaya was born and while Chris was traveling. Me and Austin would take the summer and I'd rent a car and we would just drive all over the United States or anywhere where he wanted to go. And we did that for years since he was about 6 years old, maybe a little bit younger. And this year was a little different. He's going into a senior year of school. This summer he bought a car. So we went around and looked for a car. He wanted a specific car. I don't know anything about cars, but everyone's like, wow, that's a really nice car for a first car. Don't ask me. And then we bought a building. And so we spent a month out of the summer at the building. So I said, you know, add a commercial real estate developer to my portfolio.
Yeah.
And so we bought a building and my God, was that a fun and interesting adventure to buy a historic building. And then like, how do you demolition it? How do you learn about asbestos and lead paint and history? And how do you preserve certain things? And like, it was just really, really interesting to buy that building and go through that with our family and the learning phase. And then what, you know, what we're going to use that building for in the future. You know, it's fun. It's part of my whole plan. You know, somebody messaged me this morning and I won't say who, and was talking about like, how do you just keep going? How do you just keep you move in these swift actions? And well, I don't want to butcher. They just said, I keep doing things that hurt me even though I know they're going to hurt me. I know my why. I know it, and I know the vision in detail. And they had said that my mind, they were reaching out because it seems like I have something in my mind. I'm so determined, right? Your determination meets the pavement. How do I get there? And how do I make this happen consistently? So for everybody watching, does this feel like you? Have you ever just been like, you can't be consistent? You have a vision, but you just can't like seem to bring yourself to do it. You can't be consistent about it, whether that's food or diet or exercise or business or your marriage, or like, we're here to just talk. You know, does this resonate with you? I just want to know. And I want to know if it does, like, what are your questions around it? I cannot find myself live.
I already have some thoughts already popped into my mind, especially when Libby mentioned it before we went live, that comment. And yeah, I have my own takes on that, just in what I've seen in myself and others. But.
And so the one thing I want to just really bring it back to a lot of people is, you know, I think sometimes too much detail can cause paralysis. Right? Too much and also too big. If it's too big or if it's too detailed, it causes like paralysis. You're paralyzed by the thought of it because it's so large or exhausting versus like breaking it down to smaller chunks or bite-sized pieces where it's not so detailed, right? The details are the minutiae of it. Like, what's the actual end result? You know, it's been a long, long time. I've made a lot of changes in my life over the summer, a lot of changes. Some of you guys will hear about it and some of you won't. Like, to let some people know, you know, I've stepped out of some things and you guys will see some things I've stepped out of. I've stepped out of a lot of groups. I've formally stopped coaching to kind of get myself in line. But the one thing that I went back to that I hadn't done in a long time was I hired a one-to-one coach, like a one-to-one dedicated coach I see twice a week. And it was really interesting because I haven't felt this feeling that I have right now in a long time. And I think that we need that one-to-one interaction, even if it's just with like a mentor or a friend or a spouse. It doesn't have to be a coach, right? But I was always so engrossed in like the groups that I didn't feel heard or seen sometimes or felt. And so it's been a long time since I went to like a really, really one-to-one level. And even the coach I have, he's like, who cares about the numbers? Like, who gives a crap? How do you feel? Like, let's talk about your feeling. Like, what are you going to do to change that feeling? Like, let's change that. And it's just an interesting take because I hadn't done that in a long time. And so for the person that's kind of struggling and thinks that I have it all together, one, I don't. I think it changes at every level. But I think it's the things that you do to get that change, right? If you're feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, you need to change. A statement that was said to me yesterday is if you keep doing what you're doing, you're only going to perform at that same level consistently, right? It's also a sports term. It's like you play to the level of your competition. If you're your own competition, but you're doing the same thing every day, you're going to perform the same every day. And then you wonder why we didn't get anywhere. And so, you know, I'm a true believer that the mind follows the body, right? So what are we doing for like exercise and wellness and food? And then our mind will follow that, the body. But I thought it was really interesting because it's right. I was playing to the level of my own competition of who I was, that like, so I needed a change. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, it's not because you need to do more work. That's like the total opposite. You don't need to do more. You should do more of like the insanity. It's that you need to change. You need to do something different.
Yeah. And I think we talked about that. What that feels like and looks like is that mental unload also. You know, if you can't really pinpoint, you know, why can't I reset? Why doesn't it feel like I'm resetting? It's because there's mental markers that haven't been hit, probably because they don't exist.
So yeah. Somebody asked a question. Dawn said, why does it seem like you don't let anything get in your way? I do. But here's the one thing I have done, and I've gotten very good at doing this, is that I have put the bumpers or the people around me to make sure they call me out when that happens. When they're like, Libby, you're full of crap. Is there anyone calling you out on those things, right? So having those bumpers or people in your life and on your team, whether it's your assistant, a coach, a spouse, a friend, call you out, because we can't just always stay in that same state. Call you out. And then the other thing is, and I just saw a post on this the other day from Dan, you know, and as you guys know, I've been in that Dan Martell group for a long time, and I just recently left. I left. I moved on. I actually hired Dan's mentor. And so one of the things I can say that he posted the other day that's 100% true is that we can't let other people's feelings affect us, right? We can't get upset about other people and the way they act. And so you have to ask yourself, like, am I letting other people affect how I react, how I feel, and how I go about my day? You know, he just, I think it was yesterday, he just posted something about it. And it's true. He's one of the people that taught me I can only change or affect the way I work, right? The way I react. And we teach our kids the same thing. It's, you know, it's, you Austin's a great example. What happened to Austin this week, Chris? Can you tell a story?
Oh,
with the job.
Oh, with the job. Okay.
He had an interview at McAllister's Deli. And here's me and Chris, right? We do recruiting. We're like, interesting. When is the interview? Okay, here's what you should wear. Here's how you should ask. Do you want pointers? Because me and your dad might have some feedback. And so he went and he was back instantly. I was like, well, that was fast. What happened? He goes, the hiring manager wasn't there. I was like, oh, interesting. I was like, they didn't tell you that? And he's like, no.
He had said that they were on.
No, he didn't say that until yesterday.
Yeah, that they said.
That he wasn't there today. And to come back later.
Because they were on vacation.
They were on vacation. So this again, are you going to let other people influence the way you react? And so Austin was like, okay. So I said, Austin, you should call tomorrow and ask them, hey, when will the hiring manager be back? I'd like to interview. He's 17. He has his own car. He's looking for a job. And so he called and last night he came into our bedroom. And what did he say to you, Chris?
Okay. That's when they said that the hiring manager is on vacation. They'll be back in about 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But with very open-ended. There was nothing else to it. It was just, they'll be back in 1 or 2 weeks.
Austin's reaction?
Okay, thanks. Click. But Austin was, he's like, really? No, like, Austin was like, I'm going to let them decide to call me. So he's like, put the ball in their court.
And so Austin didn't get upset, didn't get snarky, wasn't one of those applicants to go leave a bad review. He just said, you know what? If they want to hire me, I called back, I followed up, the ball's in their court, I'm moving on, I have an interview today. So. Yeah. Or he has one tomorrow, which is today. And so he didn't let crummy people, because that's not really very professional as a boss. I would like to say McAllister's Deli here in Fort Myers. If you need help with hiring, please seek me out. I would love to give you some pointers just based off the experience of my 17-year-old. But anyways, you know, he didn't let them get upset. He just kept going about his business and he just said the ball's in their court. I did my part. I'm moving on.
Yeah. With plan B.
With plan B. You know, I think that how do you... You know, the question was, you don't seem like you let anything get in your way. Well, one is I have people in my life that really keep me on track. They really keep me on track. We had Jim, right, for a long time. I had Paul for a while. I had Jim for a while. I have a coach. I have Chris. Believe it or not, Yaya and Austin will call me out on stuff. And then so I have people that keep me on track. The other thing about that is, though, when you move fast, nothing can get in your way. Because you're moving so fast that like you've done it, you've hit that marker, you're done. What's the next thing? Versus if you're slow and methodical or you need to research it, you need to understand it, which I get because, you know, Chris is very research
focused,
which causes you to move slower versus I don't need to research anything. I don't need to learn it. So I move fast. So nothing can get in my way because I'm so fast at the execution.
Yeah. So I want to dive in here and I have a bunch of thoughts here. First is, you know, I myself, yes, I'm a researcher. I dig into the details, but I have a couple overrides, things that I put in place to make sure that I don't move as slow as I used to. And I can talk about that here in a sec, but back to you, Libby, the reason why you can move fast. And there's a difference between going fast with execution and there's a difference between being reckless, fast and reckless.
I would say I could be a hybrid of both.
but the difference is that what you've done, like you said, is you've built bumpers, but reframing that is step two in the one layer deep method. Step one is, you know, what do you really need? Or what does your, what do you really want? Or what does the business really need?
So the business did not really need a building.
No. And so this is where if it's you personally inside, then what is it that you really want? If it's, let's just say your passion, your drive, your vision, your third mountain, what do you really want? But I think for you, step two is once you've made that clear and what you really want is step two is cut the BS. But what you've said is that you've created bumpers around it, but you've gone even further to where your bumpers are active contributors in cutting the BS out. And so the fact that you have people who can call you out in an instant and you take action on whatever those people say or shift gears.
Or I'm willing to hear it and not argue.
Right.
The old Libby would have argued it to the death of me just to prove a point.
Yeah. But you have these different types of bumpers in place. Some course correct. Some allow you to not have this mental load so that you can clear that out and go faster. But you've built these bumpers around you, which is why you can execute so fast. And it seems like effortlessly.
Yeah. It seems effortless because I think it's right. It's fun. It could be miserable in that moment, but it's fun because it's all your everything that we like I do or we do right when it seems like nothing's in my way. It's because we approach it from a place of curiosity as well, like playful, like, oh shit, that sucked. Like, well, okay, let's not do that again. Like, we just, that was an expensive mistake or experience, or like, oh my gosh, now I know what not to do. Again, not letting other things influence the way, you know, you feel. But, you know, I'm sorry, Chris, you were going to say something.
Yeah, no, but these bumpers aren't, I want to get this out there, is that these bumpers aren't physical or technical things. Like, no. Yes, you can time block. That's one thing. But really the bumpers that I'm talking about are like the intangibles. It's like these aggressive habits. It's either the people in your life or the habits around how you take in the information. This is all personal.
Yep. And it's also the self-sabotaging, like knowing how do you self-sabotage. So if you guys have not heard, you know, we're launching the 1LD crew, right? It's a crew. It's something stupid. I'm doing something super stupid. And it's like $99 for the year. And you get access to all of the things I've learned. I'm not coaching. I'm not teaching. I'm bringing people in, or I'm reteaching things that maybe I learned from other people. And it's the 1LD crew. And we'll drop the link in. And at first I thought I wanted to be a coach, and I don't. I love to give and I love to teach. There's a difference between giving and teaching than coaching. So I have formally retired from coaching, even in CBF, if you guys have not heard yet. I have left as well, and I'm just kind of fulfilling some of my last duties. It was one of the greatest experiences of my life, but I don't want to coach because a coach just asks you questions, right? I want to give and teach, which is completely different. And so we're launching the 1LD crew, which is like a membership to come to the gym, to come to the country club, to learn how to live this way. And I have three topics in the crew, and it's you, your home, and your business. And what do you mean you? You, it's mindset. It's like, how does it look like Libby isn't shaken by anything? I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to show you how. Home. How do you run your home? How does it look? How's your marriage look? How's your relationship with your kids? And I'm just going to repass on information I've learned in other places or other things and bring in people to teach us that. I'm not the expert. I learned from other experts. And then the business. We're going to work on some, you know, business frameworks that are, you know, just core fundamental business frameworks. But let's go back to the you. When I was designing last night, I'd said, Chris, oh my God, one of the things we need to teach is self-sabotage. One of the greatest exercises we did was how to even draw out how we self-sabotage. I self-sabotage myself all the time. All the time. You guys wouldn't think it. All the time. I found the trigger. There's a trigger. And it's an exact phrase that's a trigger. And I tell the coach and I tell Chris and I tell my team and my office, if I say this word, call me out. If I say this phrase, call me out. It's a trigger. It's, you know what the word is? The phrase, guys? The phrase is, I'm not ready yet. It's either I'm not ready yet or it's not ready yet. It is my way of like getting out of something, of taking like the I'm not ready yet. So we'll just wait till next. We'll wait till Monday. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to start that diet. Like, I'm not ready to start exercising. I'll do it on Monday. Or, oh, I'm not ready to write that book or launch that new software. And for the love of God, that was my way of procrastinating. I'm not ready yet. It justified it in my head. And so when I was trying to plan, how are we going to teach? And I'm bringing in a mindset person to teach us mindset, because I didn't learn all this stuff myself. I'd be lying to you if I told you I was the expert. But I'm like, I have to teach them the self-sabotaging exercise that me and Chris went through. Mm-hmm. We made up the exercise ourselves.
Yeah.
But that was so valuable to do that. So you'll be seeing stuff about the 1LD crew. Guys, you're not even a real... how much I'm going to charge you for the 1LD crew. I'm not even going to charge you. It's a membership annual. It's stupid. Everyone's going to call me stupid. But if I want to help as many people as I can, with this mindset of one layer deep, money cannot be the barrier. It cannot be the barrier. If I truly want to give and I truly want to change and teach, I realize that money cannot be the barrier for anyone who's willing to want to learn. And so you're going to see more about it, but it's literally $99 a year for the first 100 founding members. So I'm excited. You guys are going to help me create it. You're going to see people we're bringing in where I learned mindset techniques, how to work on my marriage, relationship with my kids, even to the physical aspect of how does your home influence your business? And it does. And so we're taking it back to like, even like living simple. Like, what are some shortcuts we can do to like just live simple?
Yeah. The phrase that we always use is simple luxuries.
Yeah. And so I'm super excited for it, but let's go back to self-sabotaging. I learned those self-sabotage and I asked Chris and the coaches to like call me out. And once you learn and you see those triggers, you don't even need to be called out because you see it. And Chris will hear me like, I will do it in a minute. Cause I was going to say, I'm not ready yet. And I'm like, don't know. You'll stop yourself and you'll notice that you run faster and faster and faster and faster when you remove the self-sabotaging tendencies you have. And they go deep. They go deeper than you think.
But the beautiful thing about it is if you set up the right boundaries first, you ask for permission from the people that you can trust to hold you accountable, you know, in these times. When I say trust, I mean somebody who's not going to stupidly call you out and call you an idiot. They got to be supportive in some aspect. But, you know, tee up the people you can trust to hold you accountable. It's these types of moments where it's incredible how I don't even have to say it anymore. But the fact that you hear the literally those words in series and you catch yourself instantly.
Yeah.
Even before it comes out of your mouth.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today. I have to say that you can't do it by yourself. I have a great team around me. And that whole, like, Michael Jordan couldn't win a championship by himself, but when they built that team, he was unstoppable. That is literally the way I feel. You can't do it by yourself. You have to have people around you that support you and understand you. And if you're not transparent, you have to remove all of those filters from yourself, all of them, to really attract the right people around you. If you don't have the right team around you, this is really hard to achieve. When you have a great team, you can stay focused on that thing that you can run with, that you can go fast with. So it's just, you know, who do I have? Who's the team? Who are the people in my life around me? It's really important when it comes to that topic because I can't do this by myself, any of it. So if you don't think that I have imposter syndrome sometimes, then like it just changes at every level. Like it changes at every level. When I bought the software, when I bought Paul out of the software, like I hid from the world for like 3 months. You didn't see my face, but you guys didn't know that because the team rehashed content and videos and reels and they did things to look like I was still there, but I was hiding from the world because I was like, how am I going to run a software by myself? I don't know any. I've never done this before. I only have ever done it with a partner, and that partner didn't want to work with me anymore. And it wasn't personal. Like, we parted ways. He wanted to do something else. We still get along. But the imposter syndrome just like tore me down. I hid from everything. And luckily at that time I had Jim, who was our COO, and Chris and Marilyn, my assistant, to like really just check on me. How are you doing? Like, great. Like, they would go back to like archives and videos and posts to like help keep like the company going and the marketing going, because I headed marketing. And then, you know, then the second time that happened, I had a software with someone and I bought him out and I bought the code. Second time was so much easier because I understood the process and I didn't hide from it. I leaned into it and it taught me a lot. But the first time we do anything is scary. Like, it's scary. And Leonard had asked a question For me, it's that I have too many ideas. I'm never sure how to attach it. I understand eating the elephant one bite at a time, and I've never understood that phrase, and I would never eat an elephant, by the way. I think, one, they would taste horrible, but I would never eat an elephant, but that's a whole other topic. But I understand what you mean. I just become paralyzed by the size of the goal. I think for me, I just keep it really, really simple. Leonard, I know that sounds just...
One layer deep.
I keep it really, really simple. It's like, what's the one action I need to do to get to this result? Who cares about some of the other actions? Who cares about the detail? Who cares about how they answered the phone? Who cares? And I think sometimes we care too much about the things that don't matter versus caring about what's the one thing that would move me closer to this goal. And that's what I need to focus on. My team can focus on all the other things, but I'm with you. I have 100 million ideas a minute. I do not share them with anyone. I have like a whole note section in my phone where I put all my random ideas down, everything from a business idea to like a house, or I need to wax my eyebrows, which is not an idea, just like a to-do. I put them all down, and if they still resonate with me like 24 hours later, then I keep it. And then I'll sit there for a quarter, like a whole quarter of a year, they sit there. And if that's still like a super sexy or exciting idea, then I'm like, okay, like let's move on that. But typically like that kind of like some of those things just go like, I think it's if we take action too fast on certain ideas that causes burnout, but then you also have to realize what's a great idea when it lands in your lap, right? So what's that great, it's not even an idea, the great opportunity. So an opportunity is different than an idea, right? Opportunity is saying, hey, I want to partner with you because I have this idea and you could make it better. That's an opportunity. Hey, there's this building and it's a great price. It'd be a steal. Opportunity. An idea. Hey, I want to start another software. That's an idea. And so realizing what's an opportunity versus an idea, opportunities, you move much faster, like because you're willing to be open to that opportunity, where ideas, because you're building them from the ground up, are extremely slow.
Yeah. And I think one thing that is super helpful in this case is because if you think about an idea as yourself and you take action on it by yourself, and then I think that's where it can be disastrous.
Exhausting.
But Libby, for you, I'm, I guess, more or less the checks and balances. I'm the objective thinker who can at least talk through the ideas as they come. Mm-hmm. And I know you have a process, a mental process or framework you go by, which is to sit on it.
24 hours, ask my husband. And I always say, even if I don't care what he has to say, I do care. Because he's always going to give me like a very neutral object, like, oh my God, the word slipped my mind. He's going to give me some neutral feedback. But just me saying it out loud to ask him the question makes me take it back in a different way. And then I'm like, oh my God, that's a horrible idea. Or, oh wow, that actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see what Chris says. As I'm actually verbally asking him out loud, I don't like message him the ideas or email him the ideas. I want to verbally say them out loud and put them into the world so I can hear how that sounds. But I sit on it for 24 hours. Typically, if it's sparked by something that's like motivation burns out. Just like when we go to a conference and we come back and we're like, yeah. And then 3 days later, we're like, we didn't achieve anything. Crap. I feel defeated and depressed because that was motivation. Motivation is temporary, right? Where if it's an idea driven by passion, are you still excited about it 24 hours later? And then that's when I bring it to Chris and ask him. So I have like a whole little decision-making framework in my mind that I go through because I am impulsive and I can be erratic. I can be extremely disruptive, but I've learned how to manage myself so that I'm not disruptive to the companies.
Yeah. And on the topic of like taking action on something you're passionate about and, you know, the whole elephant biting it down and, you know, one bite at a time. I think that also, again, back to the one layer deep is, I think it's just taking it very, very small. I talked through with Little Bill recently. He had some ideas for the building, for the basement level. And he wanted to, you know, he really got interested in it and he was very passionate with this idea and he wanted to like go all in and like, great, let's pause right there and let's go ahead and talk about it. And so he went and talked about it. And what I ended up doing was I broke it down into smaller steps and I explained to him and I said, this is fantastic. And I'm not dismissing it at all whatsoever. But the very first thing you need to do, again, I'm all about small wins. Is that you need to get small wins to get past the idea, this feeling of defeat. But you need small wins. And the way to achieve that is through proof of concept.
Yep. And so can you explain what proof of concept is for anyone who doesn't know it? Because I said that word yesterday or the other day and someone didn't know what it meant.
Yeah. So The proof of concept
is... It's a software term, by the way.
The proof of concept is when basically you're taking something from an idea to, let's just say, the very first transaction.
Rocco's going to say hi.
He's just been walking around this whole time.
Say hi, Rocco. Hi. Yaya's baby.
And here comes Yaya. But back to what I was saying before I forget it, is proof of concept is being able to take something from nothing to that very first, this is happening. This is working. So for him, I told him the proof of concept was start from step one is on the smallest scale. How can you create a proof of concept? How can you get this tangible thing that, let's just say that you create a moment of like want. You like that. It doesn't have to be you actually transact money on something. The proof of concept could be that you create an indication of interest through something. And so I told Billy, little Bill, I said, great, this is a fantastic idea. And you know, ultimately you can have like 20 plus employees, but the very first thing we need to do for you is create a small win. So it's not this overwhelming feat, but we need you to have this proof of concept to start with just a network of friends and throw a get together together and, you know, host this thing and see how that goes. Even if you don't make any money, even if you're in the hole, but at least you've sparked an indication of interest. You've created that first step with a proof of concept that people actually want what you're creating.
Yeah. And I think to really understand yourself with this whole small wins, that doesn't necessarily work for everybody as far as needing the small wins. I don't need the small wins, but I operate differently. I operate on more of a systems-based kind of mindset. But for most people, they need small wins, because if the idea is so large and it's overwhelming or causes, like, you know, you're paralyzed by the thought of it, that feeling of being paralyzed, you need small wins. If it's no different than cleaning your house or organizing your house, the idea is so large that you don't ever start it. But if you could get a small win in, you just do something for 10 minutes and see or feel the difference, that's a small win. Same thing happens in business. When our goals are so large, like, oh, I want to be $10 million, but you have no clue how to get to there, like ever. But what's a small win that you could win, a small thing you could win that would get you one step closer, right, to that feeling or even to the proof of concept. But I don't, for me personally, I don't need small wins to make me feel that way.
Yeah.
But I would say the majority of people do, because a lot of people on our team, a lot of people on your team, Chris needs small wins. Mm-hmm. Like Billy, our 27-year-old, he needed that feeling and it motivated him more and more to get up and to do something without anything in return. So it's like that. Will those small wins motivate you to the point of like, I'm excited to get up and do this, no matter if I make money from it or not, right? Because eventually you'll make money from it. And so you just understanding how you operate in your brain, right? The difference between the mind and the brain are so different. And understanding how your mind works and saying, hey, you know what? I do need that. And being okay with saying that. Like, I need wins. I need words of affirmation to keep me going. And then letting your employees know, or your partners know, or your spouses know that that's what motivates you to keep going or to get out of bed.
We had that discussion many years ago. Yeah.
It's really important, and to notice that in your employees, because if not, you'll lose employees. That is the fastest way to lose employees, especially in the office, because the office is hard, is always knocking them down or always giving them more and more and more when they haven't felt a win. Like, just the smallest tiny little win keeps them going and keeps them motivated and engaged to come back. And so you have to ask yourself, am I allowing my team to encounter these small wins? Because if my goal is so big and they don't see the end, they're never going to feel like they're winning. Just like you never feel like you're winning at reaching your personal goals. Yeah.
Yeah. Give them a taste of that milestone.
And so here's the thing though, people will fight back the small wins. It's like, oh, you know, that's being nice, or is that coddling, or is that... No, it's filling the bucket they have, right? And helping them with their own mindset to let them win. Let them win at something. Who cares how big or small it is?
So, but it's already there. Mm-hmm. This is the thing too, is the small win is already there. You're just not recognizing it.
No, you're not recognizing it. So I said, let them win. They're doing it, right? But you're not recognizing it. So it's like recognizing what could a small win be, right? So that they hit that consistently and show up better and better every day.
And that honestly for employees is a proof of concept that what they're doing is good. Because I think that was one of the biggest struggles that I do a lot of the Ditlows, the day in the life of, mm-hmm, interviews with employees, both in our companies and outside of companies. But these interviews are all about understanding and breaking down the employee, the person. The most common theme, the biggest thing was, I need small wins. This is an internal thing. They don't physically say it, but the way that they approach it is, I need small wins. Otherwise, I'm going to break. I'm going to quit. I'm going to get frustrated. But the recurring theme is always, I need small wins.
But so do you as a person, like, just to acknowledge that, like, that's how you, to me, one, stay motivated, stay on path. And here's the other thing that I want to tell everybody. I have a senior in high school. Austin's getting ready to start a senior year. And everything from the freaking newsletter that just showed up in the mail to the school, to the emails, it's all about prepping them for college, 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 college. What do you want to be when you grow up? And it's so much pressure. It's like, they have to decide. Don't you remember this when you guys were in high school? Like, you have to decide what you want to be when you grow up. Pick this one thing. And here's the thing. It's the same thing in business with entrepreneurs. You can change what you want. Like, if you're like, this is our goal. And then 3 months later, you're gonna say, you know what? Scrap that. I want to do this instead. It's okay to pick something that you're passionate about right now, but that doesn't mean you have to be passionate about it for. So I think that's one thing where people say, I'm determined and I don't let nothing get in my way. I'm picking things that motivate me right now. I know what my bigger picture is, and I'm hoping those motivations lead to that. But I'm picking the things that I know motivate me right now, not versus like this giant dream that's super far away, because it could change.
Yeah.
It could change, just like with kids in college. I think the statistic is an adult changes a career, not a job, a career 4 to 5 times in their lifetime. And so you have to think to yourself, man, maybe my passion, my why, will change 4 to 5 times in my lifetime. And that's okay. But I think all, like, a lot of coaches and mentors and like books that we read say, pick your why, pick your passion, and that's it. That's not true. Like, it could change, it will change.
And so I also think that your why, here's the thing, is that thinking about vision and your greater passion is, I'll be honest with you, you never get it right the first time. Is there's always something underneath of it that is your true purpose. So you have what you think is your purpose. You throw that dart, and all of a sudden you look closer at the dartboard, and you're like, wait a second, I missed it by about that much. Your true calling, what you feel or what you're drawn to the first moment that you define your why, could actually be something even deeper than that. And you couldn't really pin it until you got into it and you felt it and you learned it and you breathed it. And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? That's actually my why.
Yeah. Not this, it's that, or a variation of that. And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves to know the why, right? The why. But if you're not motivated to get out of bed every morning and tackle that why, no matter if it makes you money or not, I would say that's probably not your why. It's what you think it is.
I had to go through that 3 different times myself.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we pick it and we think that's it and we have to follow it. But if you don't feel it, like in your heart and in your gut and in your soul, I would say that that's not your why, not that it's completely off track, but you haven't found it yet.
Maybe you're on the right track, but you haven't really pinned it.
No. And, being open to learning and opportunity and like listening. And there are things I've done in the last year or two that I would never have done, but I was in a room with other people that motivated me to do these things, like big things, like write a book, like write a children's book. We went to breakfast this morning and Yaya was signing autographs, handing out her kid's book. Never. And I would just happen to be in a room and I wanted to write the book. It was on my why already. I don't know why. And here's the other thing that I think we need, that we feel that we need. You don't need to justify your why. You just need to honor it. You don't, because one of my whys or goals is to be an Amazon bestseller. And so many people have asked me, why do I want that? I'm like, finally, someone said to me, who cares why? Just honor it. And I was like, thank you. You're my new best friend. Thank you. Like, just honor it. Gives to, you know what, about why do I want to be a $10 million company? Why do I want to be an Amazon bestseller? Why? No, who cares? Just honor that why. Everything you do, the way you move, the way you talk honors that why. And I think it's just one for all my entrepreneurs out there. I think there's a little bit of brainwashing going on with, you know, picking the why, knowing your why and setting goals. Because I think it's so much deeper than that, that no one explains, like no one breaks it down to it. And so then when we don't hit them, we feel horrible. Like we feel so, I don't know, like worthless. We feel so just like, I'm just going to be an example, like my cleaning company here in Fort Myers, I'm not really looking to grow it right now. We're just looking to sustain. It's doing great. We're actually doing some other things right now. The amount of, being in some in certain groups or just interacting with certain people, they made me feel bad because I was okay with the size of my cleaning company. I literally didn't have a goal to grow it right now. It's doing great. I don't need to grow it right now. It's running itself. Let me work on the next thing that the cleaning company is going to do. It's even bigger than this, but it's like I feel like there's a little bit of brainwashing going on with, like with coaching and mentors and groups about pick the why and this is the goal and versus really understanding it and how do I get to it and does it motivate me or does it or is it my passion and that it's okay if I don't hit it and it's okay if I change it and it's okay if my why is not even tied to money. So like I'm not money motivated. And so I get so frustrated with like put a dollar amount. And I understand I need money to reach my long-term why, but I'm more motivated by impact than I am motivated by money. So if I can, so it, I don't know. I have a whole different frame of view when it comes to, so like I'm a big fan of Vivid Vision, but I'm on my like third or fourth version of it and I've changed it and I've learned how to do it. And you should revise your vision every year because it changes. But and I'm a fan of setting certain kind of goals, but not in the traditional sense.
Yeah, I was going to say one thing that's even worse is for those that, set a vision and they set a goal and they're working with people, but they're on track, they're on par to keep at pace with these goals. But the problem is that they keep going without looking back, like you said, with the Vivid Visions is people, because it's such an exhaustive process to look at it and visualize it and figure it out. Is that people leave it, once they create it, they leave it and they keep it as if it's absolute truth, as if it's the Bible. They follow it with absolute truth and just say, this is the next step, this is the next step, this is the next step, this is the next step. But they don't take their heads out of the water to see that the further down the path they go, they realize, shoot, I'm off track.
Yeah.
Until you feel exhausted inside, and you're like, but I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing.
Or until life gets in the way. Somebody dies, you get sick, you get hit by a hurricane, and you don't reach that goal, and you feel like doo-doo. Because the stig like the social media stigma, our industry stigma, whether you're home service or whatever you are, puts so much emphasis on oh, did you reach your goal? What's your goal? Oh, well, tell me what your revenue is. Or like, and I get revenue's important, profit's more important, but then it makes you feel like crap when life gets in the way, and then you're like, oh. So like one of the biggest, most humbling experiences of my life was Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
We were a $2 million cleaning company, and I went to zero. Right. And we had to rebuild completely. And then you're in a, you're around people who are like, I would fight with myself saying, but I'm supposed to be at this revenue, but I'm not. I'm over here. And to just understand that that happened for a reason. Then with all your other friends are at this revenue and you're like, man, I suck. And you fight with yourself internally. But life happened to me and there was very little I could do about it except for learn, like learn from it and just actually say, hey, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be right now. This was meant to be. As hard as it was and as much as it sucked, I think that if we would have kept going that way, I would have been a really horrible company to work for because I was so money motivated.
And it wasn't even that you were money motivated, but you were goal motivated,
Yeah.
and it just started to tear you apart.
Well, yeah, we were building a company that was just churning and burning people and customers and money, but we were 2 million, but you hit the goal. So it's just something to look at, right? Just like Leonard said, he loves this because they taught their kids the same thing. College is not the all and be all. Well, neither is setting your vision or your goals. You could set your goals and wake up tomorrow and say, scrap it. Like, let's go back to the drawing board. That's a true, like, that makes me excited. To, like, wake up and I'm like, oh, guess what? Something else is exciting me. Let's change it. And I think it's fun, but my whole point is just like with our kids going to college, for all the entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs, setting your goals, setting your why, it's not set in stone. So it's okay to change it. Change it. And if it doesn't motivate you to get out of bed every day, then I would go back to the drawing board. Maybe you're close to the why, but maybe you haven't found the third mountain yet. Maybe you're only on the second mountain.
And so I think that there are clues to figuring out if this really is the thing, or to simplify it the furthest you can is we've said before that in moments of delirium come your really kind of like your greatest work. Because in those moments of delirium, the exhaustion, where all you can do is run on what's really inside of you, I think that's where you find the things that actually matter. And I think that, exhausting yourself and those sleepless nights and figuring it out, like, cut the BS. One layer deep, it's cutting the BS. And that's the purest form of it, is in that state of delirium, is to figure out and cut the BS as much as humanly possible to figure out what it is that drives you.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot to be said. There's a difference between burnout and delirium. And, you know, especially for me, I just kept working and working and working and expected something to change, expected to grow, expected to be healthier, when in fact it didn't happen. I just stayed the same. And then I was mad because I stayed the same and people around me were changing, growing. And, you know, it's not until, you know, I made certain changes in my life that then I saw where that change came from. And it didn't come from, and I teach frameworks and I teach, it didn't come from a new system. It didn't come from a new framework. It didn't come from a new software. Like, the change comes from you.
Yeah. You don't have to know your why to start. Just start.
Yeah. But a lot of people would argue, where do I start?
Yeah.
Where do I start? You got to just start. Because you got to start with something that makes you excited, right? And so I'm going into a new phase of my life. We're going to call it my season. I go on the road. I start doing book promotions, hitting it hard with podcast tours. And, you know, I was talking with my coach and he said, what's the number one issue you have? And I said, it's actually maintaining my strength training while I travel. And so it's also being honest with yourself, with the why, the goals, the being honest with yourself, like, what do I really suck at? And I told him, I said, hey man, I'm great with eating. I'm on track. Like, I've been a strict no carb, no sugar for years now. Like, I know how to do that. I've been a strict carnivore for a while. I got that. I said, but man, and I still walk when I travel. We walk about 3 to 5 miles a day. But man, does my strength training just go to the crappers when I travel? And, you know, because I'm getting ready to we call it the start of the season and the end of season, just like sports and anything else. I'm getting ready to go into the start of season for One Layer Deep, for the book tour, for some things going on. And I'm like, how do I hold myself accountable to this? Because this contributes to the why, to the goal. And, you know, it's one of those things where I have my own solution for the strength training, but this isn't the point of the story. The point of the story is being honest with yourself. Where are you falling short? Because you don't need to know how to do everything to get to that why. You don't need to actually know how to do it or do it. You just need to acknowledge, hey, these are my weaknesses. This is actually in the book. It's the last chapter I just proofread. And it was being maximize and minimizing your strengths and weaknesses. So right now, you don't even have to have a fix for it. Once you acknowledge the weakness, because you acknowledge it, almost self-corrects.
Mm-hmm.
And then really maximizing on your superpowers, maximizing on the things you're great at, your unique ability. What are those? Because, you know, we've been on for an hour and I can end with a statement, right? Sometimes these goals or these whys are exhausting because we're trying to do things that maybe we're not good at, but we have to do them to get there. Maybe we're not in the best shape of our life. Maybe we're not eating right or exercising to get up to get there, to have the motivation to do it. Just by acknowledging the weakness, it will auto-correct. But also, it's always better to work on your strength, your superpower, and leave the weakness to someone else to delegate the weakness out. Because at the end of the day, you want to be a specialist, not a generalist. And if you work on that weakness and leave your superpowers at bay, you're going to just be a generalist. And you're not going to be that true unique ability, the thing that you're great at. If you're not sharpening that and staying in that zone, you're just going to be a generalist. So, and we don't want to be generalist, right? We're all special. We're all put here for a certain reason. But unless we're working in that unique ability, right? Your superpower, and we're over here trying to work on the things that we suck at, we're just gonna be a generalist. And so we're just gonna fall into gen pop. That's my term for being a generalist, gen pop, the general population. I know that's what the majority of entrepreneurs are here for, right? Because we're made different, we're wired different. So I think that's it. We'll wrap up. We've been on for an hour. We had a whole different topic to talk about today, but we didn't talk about it. What were we supposed to talk about today?
Microdosing.
We were gonna talk about microdosing, not the microdosing you think.
Yeah, but we can save that for a later time.
Yeah. Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.